You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! It's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In this Quiz My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's home match with Boston United from Saturday afternoon.
This is FCUM Radio, the official radio station for the preservation of the balm cake.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to this week's This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. All the action and reaction to FC United's weekend encounter against Boston United shortly, but before that it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with fixture alteration news, as due to council restrictions, FC United's upcoming home match with Bradford Park Avenue has been moved from Saturday the 1st of September to Sunday the 2nd. Kickoff time remains unchanged though at 3 p.m. In other news, and FC United have issued a rallying call to increase the number of season ticket holders at the club. Currently, FC United has over 900 season ticket holders, with each ticket purchased helping play a significant part in helping club finances. You can purchase your season ticket through the Pay What You Can Afford scheme via the online club shop. That's at www.fcumshop.co.uk. Away from the football, and this Friday, Broadhurst Park welcomes back the Sporting Memories Network. This Friday's session celebrates Speedway in the City and the Bellevue Aces, whilst on the 24th of August, attention turns to sporting films. New people are always welcome to attend, so just come along to the ground this Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Or for more information, please email vinny.thompson@fc-utd.net. To matters back on the pitch, and FC United on Tuesday evening were looking to bounce back from the opening day defeat at Stockport County as the Reds hosted Ashton United at Broadhurst Park.
Anyway, the penalty is going to be Chadwick left footed. He'll leather this one. Yeah. There he goes. 1-0 to the visiting team, and he's celebrating like he's just won the World Cup. There's the ball left hand side now, looking for a free kick. FC United, Willoughby's going to make it 1-1. And it is, and it was a mistake by the goalkeeper. They were looking initially for a free kick on the far left hand side. Aaron Chalmers slipped, Willoughby carried on and chased it down, the keeper came out, and the keeper went to gather it, slid on the floor, completely missed it, and Willoughby decided, well, I can run 10-15 yards in, I'll just tap it in, one apiece. United back on level terms on 19 minutes.
Danny Rackey now is to take this corner from the left hand side for FC United. That's going to hover around the back post. Lynch nods it across. The ball's loose. And Winters scores. It comes off an Ashton player, and FC United take a 2-1 lead here. And how things have changed to that thrashing on Saturday when the penalty went in for Ashton. There would just be that slight feeling of apprehension. And FC United have responded brilliantly, Roy.
Yeah, well, to be honest, there was a little bit of a set play there. You may not have noticed it, but Lynch came out of the front of the goal, made his way through the goal area to the back post. The ball was delivered very, very long, extra long, over the crowded players. He headed it back across, and Winter was there to get it on the rebound.
And great atmosphere here. Great game. Now Jamal Crawford halfway line. Oh, and tries a bit of silky skill there, and eventually he's outnumbered, but he fights well there, Crawford, and he's got the ball back, and he slides it through for Willoughby, who's one-on-one. Can he play it across? Surely for Bannister. Oh, he gets stuck. He scores. It's 3-1. And Bannister, well, he gave us all a bit of a fright there because the ball got rather stuck under his feet, but he managed to keep his composure and get the ball in. And the Ashton defences couldn't retreat in time. 3-1.
That was a great little bit of awareness of Willoughby to actually spot Bannister at the back post.
And now Chadwick will bring it away as Ashton look to break.
Breaking again, aren't
they? Over halfway in Bannister. And that's threaded through nicely. And Thompson with a real chance goes into the box. Right footed.
Oh,
scores. And that was a great breakaway.
What a great break.
But what that just shows you, when you take a poor corner like that, you give the ball away, you give the opposition the chance to break, but all credit to Ashton, they broke, Chadwick did so well, lovely, lovely ball, and Thompson with a really sublime finish.
Great
3-2,
finish.
Ashton halved the deficit. FC's defending at set pieces has been better than it was on Saturday, but they've got some more defending to do here. Corner comes in, it's nodded down, it's 3-3! And
yes,
Sefton, and talk about kiss of death! FC United conceding a goal in exactly the same manner they conceded the first goal against Stockport. Absolutely elementary there. Sefton got ahead of his man, 3-3, and FC United are being absolutely run ragged in this second half.
Ball far side now with Matty Regan from left to right. They go great ball to the penalty area.
Done it.
4-3.
McHale.
Great ball.
McHale.
Well, that's a ball played down the left-hand side. The ball whipped in, and again, FC United static in defence. And Don McHale there with a near post finish, and there was no one around there, was there? And with 6 minutes to go, FC from 3-1 down found themselves 4-3. So FC currently conceded 9 goals in 2 games.
FC live there from Tuesday evening with the final score FC United 3, Ashton United 4. So plenty to ponder for FC United's player manager Tom Greaves heading into Saturday's home match with Boston United. To hear Tom's mood heading into this crucial game, Ben caught up with FC United's player manager on Friday night.
So Tom, a big thank you for joining us on a Friday evening, a chance to look ahead to the Boston United match on Saturday. First things first, I've got to bring you back to Tuesday. You've had time to mull over it now. What's your thoughts now after Tuesday night? Now you've had a few days to think about it.
Obviously disappointing the way we conceded the goals. To be fair, I think Billy will be disappointed not to claim it the first one. And then looking at the highlights, Hal is very unlucky to give that penalty away. He's gone to just clear the ball and the lad's nipped in front of him and he's kicked the back of his ankle, and fair enough, there's contact there, but he's very, very unlucky, to be fair to him. The second one was from our corner. Not missed the first man out. First thing you learn in football is missed the first man out. We haven't done, they've gone up the other end, and to be fair to him, it's a great counter-attack and he's took the goal really, really well. He's chopped Jamal. He's coming tight, he's flattened the bottom corner. Nothing the keeper could do. Third one, again, we've conceded from a corner. It's causing us problems at the minute, so it's something we really need to look at and get right. But he's lost his man, and it's a great header. And then the fourth one, the killer blow. I think, to be fair, we probably need to stop that cross. But we were nowhere near at the back defending it. So it's problems looking at that. But on another hand, we've scored 3 good goals. We've looked at them back, and there is positives. I thought the first half we were really, really good. Second half, we should have shut up shop and we should have won the game. There's no excuses there. It's very disappointing not to come out without a point of a 9-3. And we've got to learn from that, and very quickly, because the games are coming thick and fast and there's no easy ones to go at.
I mean, me and you like the sport of rugby league, and what they tend to do in training sessions is they don't just train, but they also sit in a classroom and they watch some of the things back. Is that an area that you'd like to get involved in? Because you've only got so much time, haven't you, unfortunately, and you can't really show the players the errors in their ways, or can you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you can, but then obviously you lose, like you say, you lose time out on the field in at the minute. Like I said before, I don't think we look quite fit enough at the minute, so that's the main aim, to get us fit and get us sharp. So it's something that we can do as coaches and relay that to the lads. But of course, it's something that we want to run this club as professional as we can, so anything that's going to help, we'll be doing.
And let's talk about training then on Thursday. The problem we've got is that I'd imagine on your Thursday training session you've already looked at Saturday's opposition, and you try and work a way of getting the lads' heads round the various plays and stuff to watch out for and stuff like that. But the problem we've got is you've got Craig Elliott's side coming on Saturday, Then you've got to play a Phil Parkinson side on Tuesday, which is totally different. And then it's John Owen Bernard and Chester, which, yeah. And that's three different ways of playing that you've got to deal with. I mean, how do you get that across in a 2 hours on a Thursday night?
Yeah, it looks a massive task, isn't it? We like to be able to think that teams have got to adapt to the way we're playing. Unfortunately, we're not kind of going and dominating games at the minute. It's something that we, again, will be working on and looking at. We want to be FC United, who nobody likes to play, and people are thinking, oh, we've got a greasy team, we're a hard-working team, but they like to play football, they're good, strong and physical, and that's something that we want to get across to the lads and something that we'll be working hard on over the next few weeks. Yeah, every game's different, you've got to look at systems they play, personnel that they play, so yeah, it's difficult, of course it is, when you've only got 2 hours on a Thursday, but we do our best, and we are doing our best, so fingers crossed we've got it right for tomorrow, and we'll go to that 3 points.
Now, I'm not going to ask you what your lineup is, obviously, but when it comes to changes, you did make a few key changes on Tuesday night. Are you still not quite certain yet about what your lineup is, or was that just basically to try and learn some lessons from Saturday's? Where are you at with your team selection? Is basically what I'm
asking. To be honest, look at the substitutions on Tuesday were probably for us at the wrong time. We probably should have done it a little bit earlier in terms of adapting to how they changed at half time. We've probably done that a little bit slower. Myself coming on, probably done that at the wrong time as well, because Dicko was winning every header up there, and I'm sure he'll be disappointed to come off, but I didn't look at it as if we were going to lose the game. I looked at it as if we were going to go try and win it, and I felt that I could affect the game, and unfortunately it wasn't to be. So again, yeah, it's a learning curve for us. We've got to make the decisions at the right time, and that's what makes good managers in the end. So we've got a full squad to choose from tomorrow, so fingers crossed we picked the right team. We've obviously got a team in mind. Anything changes, we'll adapt to that. But at the minute, we're happy with what we've got, and we're going to go forward and try and win this game.
Oh, you've answered my question then. Brad Barnes, he's going to be long term, I take it, with Lloyd Allenson for at least a month, I'd imagine it all.
Yeah, he's looking at a good month. Yeah, he's twisted his knee. You can see the way he was rolling that on the pitch on the Saturday. That it wasn't pleasant. We're confident with the lads we've got in there. They can replace them, and fingers crossed we can go through to everybody that we're not no pushovers in this league, and we'll get 3 points.
And just something else that I might have heard down the grapevine, when it comes to Michael Jones, I think he's gone on loan now, has he, to Paddyham? I think he was last week, or have I made that up?
No, that's correct. Yeah, he's a great player. He's Michael Jones. He just needs a little bit more man's football and to adapt to different kind of scenarios and surroundings. So we've sent him out there. Obviously, that last year did Kieran Glynn the world of good. So yeah, it's a nice little link that we've got with them. He's always asking if we've got players, and if we've got somebody who needs that extra game time or needs that experience, they're there for us.
And the pitch is much better in August than it is compared to what it's like in February, just to say.
I'm sure
he's able to ping the ball around. Anyway, any more youngsters on the periphery? Like, for example, I could think of Steve Affleck or Elliot Samoz. Are you looking at some short-term Joe Regis or loan outs or something like that, just to make sure they get some football?
Steve will be going on loan. We've yet to get him fixed up. But Elliot will be in the squad tomorrow. He's somebody who does something completely different. He's really, really exciting. And when he's direct, he's unplayable. So fingers crossed, if he gets his chance tomorrow, he'll go and take it.
Tom Greaves there speaking to Ben on Friday evening on the eve of FC United's match with Boston United. For more now on Boston United, Ben on Friday also caught up with the sports editor for the Boston Standard newspaper. Here's Duncan Brown.
Last season, there was obviously a change of management halfway through the season. Craig Elliott coming in from Shore Lane. He's had a pre-season under his belt. What's the mood like at Boston United heading into this season?
Still very positive, very positive. There was a midweek defeat at Leamington 2-0. I think everyone left very frustrated with that. It was one of those games where Leamington wanted a bit more. They were physical. They bullied Boston out of it a bit, but it's left a bad taste in the mouth. And a lot of people are calling for a reaction on Saturday. But they kicked off the season with a 1-0 home win against Guiseley. And I think that got a lot of early expectations going. People were very happy with that result. It was a good battling performance, that one. Snuck a goal on the break from the substitute Andre Johnson, and good all round performance against the Guiseley team, who a lot of people think will be very strong this year as well.
The last time we spoke, Duncan, I think it was before the remarkable. It was remarkable, 4-4 draw. Remarkable for the weather more than anything, as well as the result. How different is that team to the team that's lining up at Broadhurst Park on Saturday?
It'll be quite different. John Stewart, the keeper, I think he that was the final straw for him. Those two late FC United goals. I think the manager, Craig Elliott, felt he could have done better with those, and I don't think we saw him play again for the club. He's since moved to Gainsborough, and George Willis is back in the first team. There's 11 or 12 changes to personnel in the summer. A lot of excited about the attack lineup. There's Nathan Arnold, Johnny Margetts, and Adam Marriott, who were all at Lincoln City 2 years ago, started the season when they went on that big cup run and the Richard Quarters. They're all at Boston now, and they've brought in some very good squad players as well. And just this evening, Friday, as we're talking, Craig Westcar has been at Alfreton the last couple of seasons, has made the move from Kettering as well, so he's really bolstered his strike force. That's the thing with Craig Elliott, he's ruthless. He goes on his gut feeling. If he thinks something's not right, he'll change it straight away. John McCoon, who came in the summer as well, the centre-back from Harrogate, who helped Harrogate to the title last season, he's left this morning already. He's had his contract terminated and he's not played a league game for the club. So Craig Elliott, he doesn't mess about. Again, things like last season's draw with FC United before all, it felt like a win for the away fans, didn't they? They were stood next to me and they were going crazy when those two late goals went in. And it's one of those things that you dream of and you very rarely get, so you don't have to save at that moment. But that result was one of many where the manager looked at it, assessed it, and made big changes in the summer because he felt he wanted more from the side. He wanted more stability, more game management.
It's interesting what you're saying there, because I have looked at the Twitter feed and like you say, there are departures and inbounds still coming in. Do you reckon that's a positive thing, or it might mean that Boston are going to be a bit slow this side of Christmas to bed in?
It's the thing with Craig Elliott, what I'm saying is he goes on his gut, and generally what we've seen are improvements. He doesn't mess about. He thinks there are chances to improve. He will do. If somebody comes in, Westcar, for example, came in today. He scored 34 goals in the last two seasons in National League North. And if he doesn't do the business in a couple of weeks, he probably might not be there anymore. That's the way Craig Elliott operates. He's a really nice man. He's not an evil dictator by any means, but he just wants to win. He has this burning desire to get the best out of his team at all times. Last season when he came in, Boston were in the bottom two. That was in November. They had an unbeaten December, four straight wins, and at the end of the season with an outside chance of the playoffs on the final day. So he does improve sides. He doesn't always get it right straight away, but he does work hard to make sure that he gets the best out of what he's got.
Welcome everyone to Broadhurst Park, and without further ado, let's get into team news.
Let's just do it.
No, blimey. We had a team sheet, and John England has...
Join the intro.
He put his hand on my shoulder just as I went, well, and did the intro, and... Well, he's scrubbed off the name Harry Winter, and in comes Elliot Samoes. Now, that could be a John England protest, or that could be a legitimate team change there.
I think it's a legitimate team change, in all fairness. The thing is, what he hasn't done, he hasn't replaced Harry Winter on the subs bench. So, is Harry Winter on the sub bench or not? We don't know yet. Well, that must be an injury thing. Now, the one thing I would have looked at that team now and said, the person to come in that position in the midfield, Sam Baird. You put Sam Baird in.
Well, let's go through the team because he's made Tom's. We spoke to Tom last night, and apart from Brad Barnes and Lloyd Allenson, he's got a full strength squad to choose from. So,
well, he did.
So one can only assume that this is his starting 11 here without any injuries, apart from Harry Winter. So it's another set of changes though, Swampy, from Tuesday.
It is, yeah, and. The difficulty in that is there's nothing settled within the team or the squad at this moment in time. Also, there's an omission of Joe Logan today as well, isn't there? He's not even on the bench. So again, I can only suggest that's he's injured. Joel Sini comes back in. Steve O'Halloran is there. Danny Rackey, Luke Ashworth, Chris Lynch, Jamal Crawford, and Elliot Samoes. Tom Greaves, as we said earlier on breaking, that he's starting the game. Kurt Willoughby and Sam Tatum. You would suggest that the likes of Jamal and Sam are going to bomb on down the wings and hopefully. Provide some quality balls into the likes of Tom Greaves. Corner ball. No one's even recognised that. He's taking a short corner. Chips it towards the back post.
Oh.
If they can see from this FC United, they'll deserve it. And it is a goal. And again, absolutely rudimentary.
Yeah.
Poor defending. They went to take a short corner and they were allowed all the time in the world. No one even noticed. And FC just didn't recover from that at all. And again, dreadful, dreadful, dreadful defending. Static statues. And it all resulted from a poor ball initially from Lynch when he didn't need to. They conceded the corner and we are 1-0 down on 23 minutes. So poor Roy.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Lynch, you know, I mean, the lad's a decent player and what he's done is he's just slashed at a ball there unnecessarily. No pressure on him or anything. Give possession away right on the halfway line. They've gone down there, got the corner, whizzed it over, loose ball, nobody marking him, and he just strikes the ball straight into, well, straight past the keeper. Keeper had no chance. Well,
the ball goes across towards Greaves. Greaves wins the header, but there's no one there in support. Simple ball back to George Willis, the goalkeeper. Hits it right footed, long, high over the halfway line. Free header there for O'Halloran, but unfortunately no one there to pick up the second ball because FC United just slowly chasing back.
It could be worse. Blyth Spartan 7, Chester 1. Admittedly, Chester are down to 10 men.
That's an incredible scoreline. We saw Chester the other day and they were superb, but it just goes to prove. I bet that game is just full of Blyth absolutely going for the jugular, for the word off right into them. And that's what you need when you against a team that has settled well. Is use your pace, use your quality, and utilise it as FC United to give the ball away again, right hand side. Now, here comes Andre Johnson in the penalty area. He's got two players opposite. He goes to himself. Oh, and it's a wonderful finish as well. Nothing FC's goalkeeper could do, but again, it's their own downfall. It's their own fault. Rudimentary defending, and FC United and Manchester 2-0 down. And you can only say, really, Roy, that it's thoroughly deserved from the home team, the away team perspective.
It was a tremendous goal the way he took it as well, but again, defending is it's just non-existent. You know, it's and I'm looking at FC here now, ready to kick off this kickoff, and they just look like little lost boys.
Still, FC United Manchester 0. Boston United 2. FC United will remain bottom of the league in this third game
with
Altrincham and Chester to come in a week. So not a great deal of time to be able to work on the training ground as the game's coming thick and fast, and O'Halloran injured on the right hand side. It leaves a gap now and an opportunity for the visitors with five players in the penalty area waiting for this delivery to the byline. They go. Get the ball across. Here's an opportunity. 3-0. Simple. Statues. And you could see it as soon as O'Halloran lost the ball in his own half on the right hand side. They went down the right hand side. They were patient in their build up play. There was five players wanting the ball, no one attacking the ball from an FC perspective, trying to defend the ball resolutely, and it was a simple tap-tapping. And the player I feel sorry for is Billy Crellin. I really do.
Well, he hasn't done anything wrong today other than, well, he dropped a cross in the first 5 minutes. Apart from that, he's been faultless, not done a thing wrong.
But that is the end of a very disappointing 90 minutes for FC United and Manchester. The week to forget, where FC United have conceded 12 goals in three games.
Do you want a stat? In the three games, FC United, is this nine shots on target? Yeah, 9 shots on target in three games. The opposition, 28 shots on target.
Well, that tells you a story, but it tells you just a story that FC United and Manchester really have a huge amount of work to do. The supporters en masse, with the exception of a few, we'll stay and applaud the team off, but it's been a woeful afternoon really, and losing Harry Winter before kick-off and Elliot Simos, and I'm not blaming young Simos at all in any way, shape or form, but I think it was the wrong decision for me. He's a winger, he's an impact player. Baird is has got a lot more experience, more resolute, could have played into that midfield. You could have maybe even put the likes of O'Halloran into the midfield rather than a young kid who's a winger. And I think it was a mistake, because FC's midfield was so weak and woeful all afternoon, and from defence to attack they were poor all afternoon. Credit to Billy Crillon again, who had a very good game. He came out on a number of occasions and used his head when he needed to, literally his head. Made 3 or 4 very, very good saves, and as I say, a number of people have already been saying it could have been 4 or 5 quite easily this afternoon. But as I say, it is.
You know, you could, to be honest, Swamp, you say, you know, it was men against boys, but it wasn't. It was like a 15-year-old boy against a 5-year-old boy. That's how it turned out. You couldn't even say that it was a mismatch because they're the same team. You know, they should be at the same level. And to me, it lacks of... I've got to say this. FC do not look as though they've done a physical pre-season. I'd like to think that I'm wrong in saying that because I think a little bit more of Tom Greaves and his intelligence than that statement, but that's how it looks. And I watched them on Tuesday and they look lacklustre and lack of fitness again.
I'll just give you an idea. FC United are actually on the pitch still, all in a huddle on the far side of the ground. Not gone towards any of the supporters yet. I think they're having an inquest, but that inquest is always better than in the dressing room, isn't it?
It is, because why do you need an audience to do something like that? Are you after sympathy votes or what? I don't know.
What you want to see is some endeavour and a little bit of quality and something really that gives you the opportunity to go, you know what, I want to come again on Tuesday, I want to come again on Saturday, I want to see, we did play well, but we had a few good efforts on goal, the goalkeeper did well, some crunching tackles.
Commitment. Fire and brimstone.
There's no talking points, is there? You can't go to the pub tonight and talk about a number of chances that FC had and perhaps could have and possibly could have got some out of this game. It's all going to be doom and gloom again, unfortunately, and that is unfortunate. And we're going to have to do something very, very quickly, because the last thing you want to do is be miles off in the first month for everybody else. And at this moment in time, there's only FC really that have lost all three. I think there's no other team. Boston today had won one and won one and lost one.
So I'm looking at them here and they're walking along, shaking their heads and looking downhearted. It's there. Commitment and their endeavour that are letting these lads down. And you can be outplayed by the better teams, there's no problems with that, but no team at this level should be outworked and outfitnessed, if there's such a word.
Is there a word in outfitnessed? Who knows? Well,
everybody understands what I'm saying.
He does.
Dictionary Corner says I'm afraid no, you can't have that word.
No, everyone knew what he meant.
Yeah, but you know what he meant. But it's not a word, that's what I'm saying. Dictionary Corner says great word, but unfortunately not in the dictionary. You can't have an 8-letter word.
Just to say, Southport, the other team who are zero at the moment.
Oh, they still are zero, okay, yeah. Right, okay.
I think they got beat by Stockport today. Anything to add? Or should we go off air now?
Well, Ben, you are the producer. It's your choice and your decision what we do next.
Okay, let me ask a question. It is fitness because Tom said so. Both in an interview on Tuesday night and yesterday in our pre-match.
So what we've been doing for the last 6 to 8 weeks? Just a question.
That's the question, isn't it? I mean.
Well, did you ask him that question?
Well, he's not.
Oh, you're going to leave it to us? Ah, I see what he's doing. Yes, Ben's going to leave the awkward questions to us as always.
So Tim's been in touch with this question: is it fitness, tactics, discipline, commitment, organisation, or everything?
It's all them. Everyone. Discipline, not necessarily. But I mean, there's only been four yellow cards in three games, so that for us is quite good. But all the above, yes, Tim. It's. Only Tom can answer the questions, really. I mean, I know at this stage of the season, it's very difficult to get training sessions in because you're playing Tuesday, Saturday. But you get a Thursday in, and maybe a light training session. But well, who knows? It looks to me like a team that hadn't played together, a team that didn't look 100% fit, a team that didn't trust other players on the pitch, a team that when they got the ball were so nervous on that ball they thought it was like a hot potato. They were giving the ball away, they were kicking it willy nilly.
Your experienced lads were doing that, that's the thing.
Well, when you've got your experienced lads,
that's the lead that your young lads have got to follow,
and that's what's happened. The experienced players have gone backwards as if they're the young players in the team, and it's all resonating around the team, the nervousness, the inexperience of experienced players, which you'll have seen this on many occasions, I'm sure, over the years. Sometimes it happens, but at the same token, you've got to get out of that system very quickly. I think we started with the wrong team, though. I think that was the fundamental. Losing Harry Winch obviously is a big blow.
Of course it is, yeah.
But you've got to say, right,
but one man don't make a team.
But what you don't do surely is you don't put a winger, and that's what primarily is, an impact winger in centre midfield, James.
Well, I would say, though, towards the end, ironically, Simoes, I thought, emerged with some credit. I thought he started making some runs. I think you're absolutely right at what you say. The fundamental question that I have is, are these good players playing poorly, or are they players who are not as good as they used to be, who are not good enough? I know it's a bit early in the season to be asking draconian questions like that, but we have conceded 12 goals
we have.
Lost three games.
However, when you consider O'Halloran only has joined this club because he can't do as many training sessions with Stockport County, he would still have been there. So that's a given. The fact that Lynch could probably get into many other teams, you know, he's still got the quality about him, is there. Winter, obviously, I mean, for me, Harry Winter actually, I believe, has actually improved as a player under his time with Jim, because he's a little bit more composed. I know towards the end of the game on Tuesday he had a bit of a rash challenge and was booked, and that was frustration because of the whole team, but generally he looks a better player. You know, Racky has got all the experience in the world, but whether he's got the legs to continue to keep playing week in, week out, because obviously he's not played for 2.5 years and this is his first real stab back at playing football week in, week out. You know, the person who looks for me who's got the most confidence out there is the goalkeeper. You know, Krillin, he's not been fazed by, no. You know, all the goals conceded. He's still done his job and been resolute. Ashworth coming back has got experience, if lacking maybe a little bit of pace. I mean, but all over the pitch, I mean, I think we've got pace to a certain degree, but the players that were playing today, I mean, putting Willoughby back in centre midfield for me was ridiculous, because Willoughby is a goal scorer and he just disappeared out of the game once he went into the central midfield. I just think those players that have got the quality, those players that have the experience, they haven't been able to at this moment in time pass it on to the younger players, because they themselves look inexperienced for whatever reason. I don't know why would it be, Roy? What would make a really experienced player look like a very ordinary player and look like they're actually fearful out there on the football pitch?
To be honest, I'm sat here and I'm mulling over things in my head while you're talking, and I find it, I just keep coming back to the fact that if you fit in body, you fit in mind, and some of these minds here look as though they're wandering a little bit. The passing has been FC's downfall today, because when they did have possession, and decent possession, they just gave it away so silly and cheaply and immaturely to give Boston the impetus to keep coming onto them. And they were in areas where it wasn't even up the field. It was in FC's defending third into the midfield third. So, you know, you're giving possession away in dangerous areas, you know, for a team that has the experience that and the composure that Boston had. So you're just shooting yourself in the foot all the time.
It's going to be an easy afternoon, though, isn't it, surely, from a Boston perspective, when you come out and you can set the tone yourself away from
you know
home.
What? They could set the tone on Cruz.
Exactly.
Because they were never, ever put to the test in any way, shape or form. And, FC had four chances that I can remember. Three came to Tom Greaves. He absolutely whacked it as hard as he could on the first two, that just had no accuracy and no method to it, put it that way. I don't blame him for doing that. He's trying his hardest to actually put the ball in the net and maybe prove a point. And his third one, he just totally scuffed it past the back post. It must have took about 34 bobbles. And then you're talking about the header off Dickinson that hit the top of the bar. Maybe could have done a little bit better if he'd have put his head through the ball. It could possibly have gone further into the back post area. But, you know, you look at then the chances that Boston missed, and Boston missed a couple of quality chances, and it was only Krellin on those couple of occasions that actually pulled the ball and the saves out. You know, that was it, end of story. So
the basic question is, I'm asking as a question, is that, if you're a fan, it's only three games, but you've seen your side lose, get hammered, then throw away 3-1 lead. And today, I mean, it's possible to watch them be very worried because you can't quite see where that's getting turned around. So what is the fundamental coach's job? That, I mean, do we accept the premise these are good players and they're not fit? Is that one of the...
I'd say,
I mean,
that
Tom certainly observed after the game on Tuesday, he thought the players who were, there were players who maybe weren't fit, and he was talking about players needing to look after themselves when there's no training and all that. Yeah. So is it...
That's a dumb thing, that though, James, to be honest. I've been saying that to my lads, you know, over a 20-year period. So that's nothing new, you know what I mean? They do have to go out and do little bits themselves because it's top-up.
Right, not disrespecting you, but you've had many years in the management game. Have you ever come out of a pre-season filled with hope, optimism, and you've gone, yes, and then you've suddenly been hit by a bus two games in?
No, because my teams have always been fit as...
Come on. Have you ever thought to yourself...
Nah.
Oh, all right, let me...
Even when at me, shall we say, lowest at New Mills, when we was fighting and scrapping...
Yeah, £2.50 to your name.
That's what we was doing, fighting and scrapping, and that come through a fitness in body and a fitness in mind. I've never had a team that folds over and shows the belly.
Is that? I mean, we are in this position now. How do we get the fitness levels up in a short space of time where you've literally only got one training session a week now for the next couple of months?
You start your pre-season again. You put 6 weeks.
Do we have to come in on Mondays? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying you need to get your pre-season fitness levels up there ASAP, and if it means doing that, then you have to rely on the honesty and the integrity and the commitment of the players to want to do so. That's what I'm saying. But they're non-league, semi-pro, part-time players. You know, it's going to be their own time. But you know what? When you want to play on a field like this, in a stadium like this, with the support that you've got here, I know I'd be willing to put the extra hours in. That's a definite. So you either want to play on a field like this, in a stadium like this, with a crowd behind you like this, or you don't. If you don't want to do that, then don't turn up to training. Don't do the extras. Don't do the bits and bobs that you should do to be able to get on a stage like this. End of story.
If we just go one step to the future and Altrincham on Tuesday, obviously, I mean, me and you, we covered the Northern Premier League for years now, and we know what Craig Elliott brings and how he sets Shaw Lane up, and he looks like he's done similar with Boston in a way. Phil Parkinson signs. It's a different kettle of fish this on Tuesday. What we're going to be playing on Tuesday is a team where we're not going to touch the ball much.
No, you're going to play against a little bit of quality. And
is that a way of getting your fitness up, just chasing shadows for 90 minutes?
Do you know what? It is. Because I'd rather have 100% of 60 minutes, then 60% of 90 minutes, and that's a definite, because that's why you've got your subs on your bench. Burn yourself up, empty your tanks, and then we'll get another sub on that then can give me that 100% for the 30 minutes that are left. There's no problem.
It's got to be streetwise chasing, yeah, there, not just running about.
That's what Altrincham are going to have. But listen, we saw
Altrincham drew 4-4 today.
They did.
So there's vulnerability.
Who were they playing?
They were playing
Spennymoor.
Thank you. Were you testing me there?
Spennymoor are no
Stalling
slouches, are they? You know what I mean? You have to work and you have to graft against a team like Spennymoor. So that's... is it up at Spennymoor, that, by the way?
When FC play
Spennymoor? No, it was away at Spennymoor.
Yeah, so Spennymoor, that's a result in itself. Mm-hmm. You know, the journey up there is tedious for one. And then you have to get them up, loosened off, ready, mentally, physically, and then you hopefully all the plans that you've done throughout the week on your training sessions and what have you, you can put it into fruition and they come off for you. That's part and parcel of everything, isn't it?
But I mean, this is a question we can ask Tom when he comes up as well, and that's just the fact that, you know, when you lose Bradley Barnes, Mm-hmm. And then you lose Winter. I spoke to Winter during the match. He's pulled his calf muscle, and that's not one that he's going to come back from.
That's not a nice one.
Immediately, let's put it that way. So we are essentially losing two of our first choice central midfielders. I mean, we've not had Brad Barnes all season, pretty much now, and it looks like we're not going to have Winter for the next few games. So that in itself is a challenge, isn't it?
Because but I still go down to the fact that this. How many is in the squad? 18? I don't know. You got about 18 players.
18 to 20.
There's 16 players there that ain't quite fit enough.
Well, they're not all unfit. I mean, you'd think the entire squad.
Well, I'm looking at. Listen, you win as a team and you lose as a team. So you take the blame as the team.
Well, that's that true. But if you were being more dissecting, you'd pick those. I mean, Tom Greaves could not be. You couldn't say Tom Greaves. Surely he's fit enough, Tom.
He's fit enough for what he does and how he does it. Definitely. And he wears his hat on his sleeve, by the way.
I mean,
you can see he puts effort into it.
This goes back to our chat we were having during the first half when we had a bit of a break in play. And you were talking about your first season as a player manager at Castleton Gabriel's and just the fact that there was an element to this where Tom was trying too hard and he was defending at right back position or left back at times, and he's snatching at his chances and stuff like that. There comes a point where you're doing too much, aren't you?
And you are, and
filling the
that
holes.
And that's why I say I felt that the lad's got pressure on him. He's got pressure and stress on him, which maybe epitomised the three opportunities that he had there. Because normally, he had three opportunities, two of them hit the target. That's it. That's history. And that's how he's always worked. That's why he's got a a goal scoring record like he has.
And this. I mean, a lot of attention's been put on Paul Crellin. Paul Crellin, that is. And I don't mean poor as in his performances. I mean poor for the fact he's getting a bit of grief on forums.
Deserve grief on Tuesday.
No, exactly.
And he certainly didn't deserve grief here today.
And a lot of attention's been put on the defence. And after County, a lot of attention was put on the fullbacks. But 9 shots on target in 3 games points to another issue with FC United, which...
Well, did you not know that last year?
Well, we've changed personnel this year, though.
But you haven't got what I consider a forward that can hit the onion bag on a regular basis. That's my opinion.
Well, Willoughby has scored both games this season, and he was playing in a less advanced role.
He was, yeah.
I think if those chances had fallen to him, I think he would have put at least one of them away.
But he's a young lad, and he is fit. You can see he's fit, and he's fit over 5 and 10 yards. He doesn't even think about it, he just does it. It's instinctive, it's in him, he wants to hit the onion bag. And and that is the attitude you need running through your team. Don't start feeling sorry for yourselves, like I was watching them there coming up here, with their heads down, shaking them. When you shake your head too much, it falls off. So don't do that, get your head up. Say thank you, say your apologies, whichever you want to do. Applaud the fans, by all means, do all that. But do not go into a shell, because I'll tell you what, you've got another game on Tuesday, you need to be up and ready to go and firing.
But that's a leadership question, isn't it? Because the young people will do that, and that's what good managers will deal with.
You've lost your captain.
Yeah, but there's other teams, the Tom, and there's other players who can show leadership in that group. I mean, is the fact that it is a new group, largely, is that relevant at all, Roy?
Boston are totally new.
Because I just feel that the problems lie in fitness levels. That's my feelings. I'm looking at them and they just don't look right. When they're tracking back, it's a jog. It's not a sprint. When you're getting forward to support, it's a jog. It's not an urgency. I can only say what I would say if I was in Tom's position. And Tom's man enough and honest enough to be able to do his own speakings. If he disagrees, then that's fine. Football's about opinions, but the one thing I can say, honestly and truthfully, I always give an honest opinion, and my eyes do not tell me lies. That's it.
I think the record was, going into this game, it was 5 wins out of 23 for FC United in the month of August whilst in the National League North. So we'll be back on Tuesday night. That match is live on FC Radio, but it's also live on North Manchester FM as well, live from Moss Lane. It's Altrincham against FC United and Manchester. So join us from 7:30 on either medium. Thank you to Roy. Thank you to James. Thank you to Swampy. Thank you to Dictionary Corner, Stato Paul. And thank you to Steve Wood as well. And thank you to Constructive Coding, you lovely people, the Armchair Army. But from everyone here at Broadhurst Park, we'll see you all very soon. Bye-bye.
Good evening.
FC Live there from Saturday. Shortly after the match, Ben caught up with FC United player manager Tom Greaves.
Well, thanks for joining us, Tom. What's your thoughts after that one, really?
Massively disappointed. Probably worse than the other two, to be fair. Conceding sloppy goals. The one and only thing I'll ask from the boys is the heart and the passion, and there was just none of it today, not from any one of them.
So you got deflated very quickly in the game. Is there now a confidence issue, not taking the knocks all too well? And, you know, we're only 1-0 down at half time, but it never felt like we were going to get back into it at all.
Absolutely. Confidence thing. You think every time they go forward, it looks like they're going to score at the minute. But we're all men, and that shouldn't be the case. They're all good footballers. I believe in all of them. That's why they're at this club. Disappointing to concede from a set piece yet again, another corner. But yeah, you're right. At 1-0 down at half time, we're still in the game. I'd set responsibility for missing a couple of chances there, and to be fair, they've gone up the other end and been clinical, but far too many sloppy mistakes, giving the ball away far too cheap, and the work rate for me, that's the worrying thing.
Going back to the start of the game, in the warm up we lose Harry Winter. What's your mood with 5 minutes to go that you get that news?
Yeah, obviously Harry's a massive loss, because he is one person that will absolutely run himself into the ground for the cause. So yeah, really disappointed, but the lads who replace him should be thinking, this is my chance, and I need to go out and prove to the gaffer that I should be in that starting 11. Wasn't to be today. I think we had a spell of probably about 15 minutes where we created a couple of chances when Elliot got the ball down and driving it and got the fans excited a little bit. But again, you can't have 10, 15 minutes in a game of 90 minutes and expect to get anything out of it.
Now, defence is a given, and the midfield and that kind of thing, but the forward line as well. I'm sorry to do this to you, but it's 9 shots on target in 3 matches.
Yep.
Against 28 shots on target from the opposition.
Yep.
What can we do? Because I understand what you're doing. You're going 110% and probably trying too hard if the GP know.
Yeah.
So how do we become clinical up front?
Yeah, well, to be fair, for myself there, that should be an extra 3 added onto that. Shots on target there, no excuses, especially the third one. I've just timed it all wrong. But we're not delivering balls into the box enough. We're not giving the lads up there a chance to get in front of the defender and get headers in on target and things like that. So it's just back to the training ground work again. It's a difficult one because we have got players in there with a lot of flair and a lot of creativity, but we're just not showing it at the minute, and something's not clicking. It's completely different. The lads are great. They're all getting on really well in the change rooms, but something, as soon as we cross that white line, it seems to be a little bit deflated. Without making excuses, we've got our 4 top earners out at the minute, in Lloyd, Logan, Brad and Harry, and it's a difficult one. You'd have all of them in your starting 11, so it's a difficult one. It's a hard time for myself, the lads, the management team and the fans, but we've all got to pull in the right direction, and fingers crossed we can turn it around on Tuesday.
Now, let's talk about Tuesday. You talked about on Tuesday, the Tuesday just gone, and I think on Friday as well, about the fitness side of things. We need to get the fitness levels up. How can we possibly do that when we've only got one training session every week? I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? And why are we so off the pace?
To be honest, I thought we'd done enough, and everyone had got enough game time in pre-season. We'll maybe have to have a look at that again if we're still here for next year. But yeah, like I said on Tuesday, the lads have got to be doing a bit in their own time, myself included. You've got to get out, you've got to make time. I know the lads work, it's non-league football, and when you're not in more than once or twice a week, it's difficult, but we've got to get up that little bit earlier, get out for a run and look after yourself. It all comes down to looking after yourself. So that's the chat we've had in there. Again, we didn't look fit enough. They looked a lot sharper, a lot quicker. And to be honest, they wanted it more. And they got the results again. And I can't complain at the result, because they deserved it.
So Altrincham this Tuesday. And they drew 4-4 today. So they're clearly quite entertaining. How are you thinking going into that game? Because are you thinking of maybe getting the players in on Monday, or is that not feasible? How are you going to get everyone back on it and the confidence back up for Tuesday night? Because that's going to be a tough game, that one.
Yeah, of course, we've done it before, and it's potential that we could get them in on the Monday. I'll have to speak to Olivia, see how the injuries are. Harry might have started today and then come off after 10 minutes, and he's probably saved himself a long-term injury there. But yeah, we've got to get the lads in, and I'll back them 110%. I've brought them in, and I believe every player in this team has won things. They've won this league, they've won cups, and they've played at higher levels. But we're not at higher levels anymore. We're at FC United, and everyone should be absolutely dying to wear that badge. I've done it for 6 years, and I'm not the best player in the world, but I'll always give my 110%, and that's what I want in my team. And at the minute, it's not showing, and that's something that I've got to get across to the lads.
FC United player manager Tom Greaves there speaking following his side's 3-0 defeat against Boston United on Saturday afternoon. To find out all the other results from the past weekend in the National League North, it's now time for another edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers, and hello everybody, and welcome to another edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. So, after three games, FC United sit bottom of the table, 0 points, 4 goals scored, 12 goals conceded. So, not the best of starts for the Reds in their opening week. However, joining FC with 0 points at the bottom of the league, we have Southport, who lost 1-0 to Stockport County in the Battle of the Ports at Hague Avenue on Saturday afternoon. Elsewhere, Guiseley were also 0 heading into the weekend, but picked up their first point of the season with a 1-0 draw with Telford. Higher up the table, there is now only one team with a 100% record in the league, and that's Chorley. Their latest win was a 1-0 victory at Nuneaton. Leamington are second and still unbeaten. They defeated Bradford Park Avenue by 4-2 at the weekend. In third, we now have new to the league and still unbeaten Hereford. A 1-0 win at Curzon for them on Saturday. Altrincham also remain unbeaten following a ding-dong 4-4 draw with Spennymoor at Brewery Field, while there was another high-scoring draw between Kidderminster and Ashton United, 3-3 in that one. But result of the day goes to Blyth Spartans, who defeated Chester by 8-1 on Saturday afternoon. Blimey. And lastly, but not leastly, it finished York City 1, Alfreton 2, and that concludes this week's edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Farewell.
Thanks, Marv. FC United return to action this week with 2 matches on the road. Firstly, on Tuesday evening, FC travel the short distance across town to take on newly promoted Altrincham. The address for the ground is Moss Lane, WA15 8AP. That's Moss Lane, WA15 8AP. Kick-off on Tuesday evening will be at 7:45 p.m. While on Saturday, FC United travel down the M56 to take on Chester. The address of the ground is the Diva Stadium, Bumpers Lane, CH1 4LT. That's the Diva Stadium, CH1 4LT. Kickoff on Saturday will be at 3 p.m. Official coach travel will be operating for Saturday's trip to Cheshire, leaving Broadhurst at 11:30 a.m. with pickups en route from Prestwich and Chilton Street. The cost is £13 for adults and £7 for under-16s. You can book your place on the supporters coach either through the official website or by calling the FC office on 0161 769 2005 during office hours. But as always, if you cannot make these matches in person, then have no fear, the FC live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Tuesday evening from 7:30 p.m. and on Saturday afternoon from 2:30 p.m. right here on your very own FC radio. Whilst we can also happily announce that once again, this Tuesday's match with Altrincham will also be available through your physical radios, thanks to our friends at North Manchester FM. You can tune in from 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday night in and around North Manchester by turning your dials to 106.6 FM.
Hi there, Billy McCartney, a former player and always listen to FC Radio.
That's the end of This Club Is My Club for this week. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesdays at 12:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.